At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
She's Alyssa, she's new, and she's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
She's got the makings of a real great Pacific Northwesterner. She loves the outdoors and hiking and dogs. Got a lot of those in this city. And loves rock and roll music. I think she's going to be a perfect fit for 107.7 The End. But you can be the judge for yourself. So far, she's been very nice to me. Let's see what you think after we sit down and talk about what it's like to live in Seattle, love rock and roll, and head out to the park with your dog to bark at stuff. I don't think Alyssa actually barks at stuff. That would just hit the music. Okay, so you've actually officially used the studio then?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good. You're off to a flying start. Good morning, Alyssa. We're drinking coffee cups. You already have the quintessential Seattle coffee cup because you're soaking in all of Seattle.
And my Sub Pop zip up.
Yeah, awesome.
I bought that at the airport, so I had some kind of just sweatshirt or hoodie because I didn't have any, sweatshirts with me because... You know, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta's like 95 degrees every day. Who the hell wears a sweatshirt?
When you got here, was it refreshing how cool it was outside?
Every day. Honestly, every day I walk outside and I'm like, thank you. Like, I don't feel like I want to jump back in the shower right away or I can actually breathe walking down the street.
Yeah, the other day someone was complaining about humidity to me and I was like, that is ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah, I travel to Georgia frequently and I haven't been there yet in the dead of the summer. And it seems like it's just awful. But like... My whole family's in the Midwest, and so I go in the summer, and it's just miserable.
I've moved 3 times in the summer there. Yeah,
it's why?
To punish myself. I don't know.
Do you pay for it yourself, or do you have someone do it?
No, I had my friends. I rented a U-Haul, and I was like, "Hey guys, let me know what beer you want. Yeah. Come help me just move boxes for a couple hours. Yeah. I don't have a lot of stuff, you know?"
That's so cool. That's kind of the life of radio, though, right? You can't I've now lived in Seattle long enough where I have so much crap. Last time we moved, it was just bananas. We hired guys, just in-town move. It's fine. We hired them, and they looked at me like, "Well, how do you have this much crap?" I'm like, I threw half of it away. Anyway, so welcome to Seattle.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good?
So far, so good.
You're beaming. Every time I see you're glowing from excitement of, being here. Had you traveled to Seattle before you ever came here to interview or anything? Had you stepped foot here?
No. I've been to California a bunch because I have family there, but never. And I've always wanted to come here. Me and my friends were actually talking about it before I even interviewed for this job because we were looking for new places to hike. And we did a lot of that in North Georgia. There are a lot of actually real random just waterfalls that you'll stumble upon, part of the Appalachian Trail. So we would do stuff there, but we were talking about, all right, let's do a trip. Chattanooga, Tennessee is actually really cool too, some hiking spots there, but we were like, yeah, let's do a trip. And then all of a sudden this started happening. I'm like, well, wait till I get a place and you guys come visit and then we'll just dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the plane tickets are a fortune to get here, but once you're here, it's so fun.
Yeah, but they could save money staying with me, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, screw them.
Just come out.
That's great. Now, you are originally an East Coaster, so this is your first time living on the West Coast?
Yes.
How are things on the West Coast? That's all I can think of. That's cool. Where are you from originally?
Connecticut.
Where in Connecticut? Stars Hollow. That must have been so annoying.
Well, it's a little town called Norwalk. It's an hour. I just told people it's an hour outside of New York City because train ride takes 50 minutes.
So did that allow you the ability to go watch rad shows and stuff in
all
New York?
All the time. Yeah. My dad actually works for Metro North, which is the transit there. And so I didn't pay for a train. I haven't paid for a train in years. I'd just be like, Dad, I'm going to take your train pass, go into the city and just, yeah. That in Brooklyn. A lot of cool venues in Brooklyn, too.
Sure, sure. So. Recently, there's this awesome kind of like circusy stunt. I'm going to get lit up for getting this wrong by somebody, but a place called House of Yes, and it's like a lot of nudity and like body, like torturing type things for performance art. It's a performance art space, but then they have glass animals play a show there, and I was like, you have no idea how perfect that is.
So, wow.
Yeah, there's like a lot of opportunity to be what you want to be there, mm-hmm. and then I think musicians really eat that up, plus it's New York, so.
Exactly.
That's awesome, man. So you grew up with snow and everything?
Yeah, and I kind of miss it a little bit. My friends think I'm weird. I actually like shoveling snow. I enjoy it.
That's terrible. Yeah, you are weird.
I remember one day it took me 3 hours to get to the radio station because of a blizzard that we were having. And I left super early because I'm like, all right, I know people just don't know how to drive. It took me 3 hours to drive what would normally be a 25-minute ride.
Oh, why even bother?
I know. But I don't know. It's what I grew up with, you know?
That's why you get the big jobs in Seattle and stuff is because you hustle like that. That's crazy. I can't imagine. The city must understand when people can't get places because it's snowing and because it's crazy like that. Everyone must get it, right?
They get it, but as far as, you know, radio, they're like, no, you already know how crazy it's going to be, so you better leave 5 hours early. Like, you better be here on time. So, and with the whole, like, live and local storm center stuff, like, it's important, you know?
Yeah.
People were out of power. One year, I remember, it was crazy. It was over 3 feet of snow, and we actually got stuck at the station. We couldn't even open the glass doors outside because they were frozen shut.
Wow.
It was intense, yeah.
Wow. So, did anyone die? Did you kill anyone and eat them?
No, but I actually had to, like, go on air and say, hey, if you want to be, like, the superstar of the day, if you can actually get out of your driveway and have a plow, can you come help us? Like, we are legit stuck.
Do people just have plows there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just throw them on their truck and just go, yeah.
Wow. I never even think about it. I'm from the desert, so when it snows, it's like, what the f- No one knows what to do. There's like 3 snowflakes and people are just crashing into each other because they're so afraid of the snow.
It's Snowmageddon.
What you're going to find is that happens here too. We live in a city of 7 hills, now 6. But when it snows, none of these places are prepared to handle that. We haven't had snow in a few years yet, but the last time it snowed like 3 times in 1 year and it shuts the whole city down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll plan on, like, I remember everyone went to the hotel across the street a few years ago because it was snowing, and they just put everyone that's essential on air up in a hotel because they need you to be able to walk across the street and get to work because
exactly.
You can't, those hills, you can't, I guess you could walk eventually. I don't know if you can get from, I guess, West Seattle, you could probably do it. Yeah, but you're not going to walk from Kent to Seattle. It's just not,
No. That's
not a thing. And so the city gets so debilitated by it. I mean, I don't even think people that do snow regularly would be able to do it without like vehicles designed for that.
Well, especially if the roads aren't, you know, seasoned or they're just not ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, that was the same thing in Atlanta.
I don't even
too.
Know what that means, to be honest with you.
Well, if they haven't had snow on them, you know, like Connecticut, you know, after it snows, the roads are all messed up and, you know, we need, you know, to fix potholes and all that jazz. But like in Atlanta, it was the same thing. I remember the year before I moved there, we were all kind of laughing because it looked like The Walking Dead. Like the streets there, everyone was just leaving their cars on the highway and just abandoning them and just walking home and just doing what they had to do because of dusting of snow. Like,
yeah.
I get it, but it is kind of crazy.
So because we're near mountains and stuff like that, it will dump snow here occasionally. You'll get a couple inches or whatever, which is a lot for Seattle. I mean, have you found out yet when it's raining, how people drive? Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, a little bit.
How everyone is the worst driver in a place where it rains all the time. It is mind-boggling how terrified everyone is, though. But when it snows here, like Denny Hill over here, it'll be covered in snow and people will get out fast food trays and garbage can lids and whatever and it'll be a party. There'll be people with music outside.
Okay,
it'll be 10
cool.
o'clock at night and everyone's sledding down the road. Snowboards are out. The people are ruining their skis and stuff just to like go out there and have fun going down this hill. And so that's the thing. And if you have a truck that can make it up and down, you could make a sweet mint helping people that are stuck get unstuck. But there's just cars. Like last time it snowed, there was just cars in the middle of an intersection and no one could do anything about it, including the authorities. So it was like there was cops everywhere and stuff just like, all right, be back by this time in the morning. We'll have a plan in place by then. And so there's just cars sitting in the middle of the road just like, all right, I'm moving my Honda here. So what's your impression so far of Seattle? How do you like it?
I like it. Yeah, people have been friendly. I mean, you guys here are
hesitant.
All awesome.
Okay, no, I like it.
No.
She hates you.
No.
She's pretending like it's okay.
No. My dog loves it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, she has more friends than I do already. But yeah, we've been to the Plymouth Pillars dog park over here
that's
today.
The freeway dog park.
Yeah. Today I'm going to check out some other parks for her and stuff. I know Green Lake.
Yeah.
What is it, like a 3-mile loop around there?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's if you go around the outside of it, it's a perfect 5K. They like designed it so you can do that. And if you go the inner loop, which is fantastic, it's about 2 and something miles. And Green Lake's awesome. It's hard to get to, surprisingly, if you don't have a car. You have a car?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so you'll be fine. But it's hard to get there, surprisingly, without a car. Transit is a difficult thing there, which blows my mind or whatever. But yeah, it's wonderful. It's man-made lake in the middle of this big neighborhood. And there's tons of people out there, tons of like good-looking people out exercising, tons of kids out there running around doing their thing. It's a big like social destination for everybody, which is pretty neat. Now, no one will talk to each other if you're a stranger, but it's a thing you're gonna have. You okay? So there's this notion, the Seattle Freeze is a thing. Have you read about it?
No, I have not.
Okay, you should look this up because you'll find that if you don't get in with a group of people that have a common interest, you'll be like, "Hey, strange person that's working at a job that's being nice to me, we maybe could be friends." And they're like, "Yeah, no. Have a great day." It's this very, there's a phenomenon that they say exists here where it's hard to crack the city. Now, so many people have come in from outside of town that it's changing a little bit. And if you move to any big new city, you have to be prepared for that. Like
for
where
sure.
It's like, how are you going to make friends in somewhere new or whatever? But Seattle's specifically notorious for being, if you haven't lived here for a year, locals have nothing to do with you. They'll be like, "What are you doing this weekend?" "I'm having an awesome party. It's going to be fun. We're going to have fire eaters and barbecues and all this." And, "Wow, that sounds great." They're like, "Yeah, later." And you're like, "Oh, I was hoping that maybe we could, okay, never mind." So you'll find quickly that the Seattle people are friendly, but not that friendly, surface friendly, passive aggressive.
Okay.
Okay. What have you checked out so far? Have you been anywhere? I mean, I know you've only been here for a couple weeks, but...
Where have I been? Well, I drove through Fremont and Ballard. Got some amazing tacos in Fremont. Oh, what was it called?
Yeah.
See, I already forgot the place what it was called. But yeah, just walked around with my dog. See, I bring my dog with me because that I'm hoping, because more people will talk to her. It's like I'm standing on the corner of the street and they're like, "Oh my God, you're so cute." And I'm like, "Hey," you know.
So they look up at you like, "No, oh yeah, human."
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, she's kind of like an icebreaker a little bit.
Yeah.
Like gets me to talk to people. I did, really random, the other day, I met someone from New Haven, Connecticut, which was,
perfect.
That kind of blew my mind. Yeah, I had a question on the parking meter thing and I was like, "Hey, quick question." He's like, "I'm not from here." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not either." He's like, "I'm from Connecticut." I was like, "No shit." So
yeah, me too.
No crap, I mean, sorry.
That's all right. There's editing.
So yeah, so that was fun. But yeah, as far as places I've checked out, yeah, I haven't really had a whole lot of time to dive in. But like Mercer Street over here,
yeah.
Walked around over there. I actually
South Lake Union, yeah.
Yeah, boarded my dog for a couple days. I was at a radio conference for a couple days in Minneapolis. So like I brought her there, and they were super great. Like so, that's a solid place I could take her to. There was a Saturday market. South Lake Union area.
Yeah.
So after I picked her up, yeah, they had like a bunch of food trucks and walked through there, got some a new cool necklace with like mountain range and stuff. Just
did you ever go
random.
To the farmers markets in New York at all? Or Connecticut for that matter?
Connecticut, yeah.
You know how everything's real like inexpensive because it comes from the farms and stuff? Here there's this phenomenon where we have all these farmers markets, but like none of them are like you're paying top dollar for the stuff there. It's all very expensive, and it's kind of a mind blower that like that this is a business model to like I guess they're taking advantage of the times or something like that, where people are willing and interested or whatever. But it's very strange.
It is.
The city has I read the other day that it has over 150,000 dogs.
Really?
And the city itself only has under 700,000 humans. Now, if you talk about the greater area, it's 3 and something million or whatever. But, like, Seattle City is, for every 4 humans, there's 1 dog.
That's awesome.
So, it's a very... there's more dogs than kids. There's more... I'm just trying to think of Seattle things to tell you. This might be a rumor, but there's more bars than churches.
Okay.
This is kind of a godless city. Except for the music scene, it seems like there's a big, like, sort of, like, there's, like, a religious... element that runs through a lot of it, and I think there's a lot of people that grow up playing music in the church or something like that, and then they transition into their own private lives or whatever. So that kind of comes with it. I haven't confirmed that yet, but that's my suspicion. Okay, so you're from Connecticut. And you did radio there? Is that where you started?
Yeah, I started doing the grunt work, like street team, you know, going
what,
in at...
What was your first station?
Classic Rock, 95.9.
Classic Rock, 95.9.
Yeah.
With T-Dog in the morning.
Yeah, it was a station I grew up listening to, you know, on the way to high school and all that. So it was cool to just, you know, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm driving the Fox van around, like a 1988 Astro van. Like, you know, brakes don't work, but it's all good. No, but it was great. Yeah, that's where I got my start. And, you know, I'd be the person willing to go in at, you know, 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning to run the board for these really boring gardening shows and, like, brokered shows and all that. But it was fine. Like, you know, got me... where I needed to be.
Yeah.
And then a new program guy came in and was like, why are there no females on these stations? And I was like, hey, pick
me. I'm one of those things.
So it just sort of worked out.
Okay. So it was the same. So did you grow up as a classic rocker then?
Well, so I have two Led Zeppelin tattoos and my dad's like, why? You know, he just doesn't get it. But yeah.
What's dad into?
Dad is into the Moody Blues.
Okay.
Doobie Brothers.
So it's not like he's not into at least that. How do you say it? It's, my dad's into classical symphonic music and Elvis.
Okay.
But then, like, everything else is, like, devil music. He would never say it that way. But that's, like, how I identify. Like, I remember I was trying to record a special on VH1 or something like that when I was in home from college or something like that. And they played one that the listing was for Nirvana, but instead it was Metallica. And he's like, they watched the beginning of it, and they're like, one of the things is like, it was like tied into the Satan worshiping scene or something. He's like, why are you recording Satan worshiping music on my VCR or whatever? I'm like, what are you talking about? So yeah, I mean, at least he's in the rock and roll genre. At least we're talking guitars and stuff.
Yeah, he's a big Rat Pack dude too, Frank Sinatra and all that. I grew up listening to that, which I love too. So, but yeah, I guess I grew up. I mean, I was into, you know, when I was like 15, like Avril Lavigne, you know, all the top 40 type music. But yeah, I started to get into Zeppelin around like 16, 17, and then the whole classic rock. But I'm also like, I mean, I've always loved alternative. I think I was 8 years old when my cousin was like, here, have my Bush cassette, you know, and like Silverchair. And I'm like, oh my God, this music. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm a classic rock chick. I'm just a rock chick in general.
That's cool. Okay. Was there an alternative station in Connecticut?
There is one alternative station, but it never really came through when I was younger because I'm just the range on the signal wasn't that great. Blanking. MRQ.
So where did you find out about alternative music then, if you didn't have a station doing that? Like, we were lucky I grew up with an alternative station. So, like, where did you find out about new music?
My older cousins. Seriously, they would just, for Christmas, they bought me all my cassettes. Presidents of the United States of America, Green Day's Dookie. I mean, I was 8 years old. My mom's like, you can't listen to that. So I'd have to, like, sneak it, you know, in my Walkman, like, outside, just listening to my music. Yeah, like I said, Silverchair and Bush, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. That album was...
Something about Seattle that you're going to run into a lot is that the presidents have their hand in everything. Like, they're always doing something somewhere. They work with the station a lot. So, like, you'll get to the point where the presidents are kind of a local band. I mean, obviously, they've proven themselves a million times or whatever. But, like, they're a band that's that do a lot of stuff. They play at the 4th of July one time. The next time, they do, what's the name of it? On President's Day weekend, they do a couple shows at the Showbox every year.
Oh,
and
awesome.
It's like, so there's, like, a lot of opportunity to go and have fun with the presidents. They're
cool. They're
like a hometown favorite, which is a neat thing to have. Well, that's it. Okay, so then you're in Connecticut. Was there a stop between there and Georgia?
No, actually.
So how long did you do radio in Connecticut then for?
Like 8 years.
Okay.
I tried to get jobs, you know, I like drove to Boston, I drove to Poughkeepsie, New York, like just trying to, you know, branch out. But, you know, it was Atlanta that, you know, the guy there, his name's Troy Hansen. He's awesome.
Shout outs to Troy Hansen, everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. He was like, hey, I have 10 hours a week I can give you on the weekends. You know, why not come down here? And so I was like, yeah, I mean, my family's like, you're crazy. You're moving to Atlanta for 10 hours a week. And I'm like, hey, you know how it is in this business. You have to move. If you want to make moves, you have to be willing to move and relocate. And, you know, it's where I got my coaching and stuff. And it's for me, it was a step that I needed to do because look where I am now. You know, it's like,
of course. You gotta put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll stay in the same town for forever and never, they'll always think of you as the kid.
Yeah. And then you start hating life, and it's like, no, I do radio because I love it, you know?
I'm concerned that this whole time in the background there's been a fire alarm going off. You could probably hear it a little bit if I really... I don't know if you can hear that or not. But...
I can hear it in my headphones.
But I'm concerned that it's been going now for at least 20 plus minutes. Hopefully that building is not actually on fire. They put a message saying that it was okay, but sorry, I digress. Okay, so you start out as a street teamer, and then you get on the air doing what? In what capacity?
Sundays.
Yeah?
Just Sundays, 10 to 3. I think the first song I ever... Well, not the song, but the first artist I remember talking up was Bruce Springsteen. Don't even know what I said. I don't even know if words... ever actually formed. And just like, oh, microphone, talk, push buttons.
It's insane, right? It How about the first time you cracked the mic at the end? Were you shaking like a leaf?
Shaking like a tail feather? Yeah. Yeah, it was
You
it
really
was
did
intense.
Live in Atlanta, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, cracking the mic here was just unreal. I mean, it still is. I don't think that feeling will ever go away here because, I mean, I've been streaming The End for years. I mean, I told you, I'd be sitting in my car on the way home from my waitressing job, just in traffic, listening to you and Pepper, and just, I love this station.
Not Manly, though. You hear that, Manly?
No, man.
Not you.
No, it was just the
just
time of
Greg
the-
and Pepper.
Just the timing of the
You're
day.
You're going to give him a complex. He's going to be really upset. He's going to really... I know John pretty well, and this is really going to blow his mind. I'll be sure to tell him for
no,
you, too. So
I love Manly. No.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure. You haven't proven it, so that's great. So you
Getting
moved to
trouble.
Yeah, definitely. I love causing trouble like that. 10 hours a week is no... That's no guarantee of anything. That's an easy way to get stuck in a city where you don't know anybody and you don't have any money. So you made ends meet by waitressing?
Well, funny thing. So I went out.
I'm going to be an actress.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go waitress. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, nothing against serving or anything
no,
like that.
Come
I've
on.
Done it for like 6 years. And so I was just like, all right, I'll do that. All the college kids were getting their jobs back. And like, they're just like, oh, we're not hiring. And I went everywhere. I even went to the record stores and I was like, hey, I will gladly stack your vinyls. Please just hire me. Like, I need a job. I need to start making money.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy at where I was working. He was leaving, and they needed someone quick just to fill in to do production during the week.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I know how to do that. You know, if you don't want to hire me for the job, that's fine. I'll just come in and get the hours at least. So after 3 months of doing it, they ended up hiring me because I made sure. I was like, you are going to hire me for
yeah,
this job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's cool because then you get – it's. I think there's a certain amount of appreciation that you get from having to do kind of a – I'll just say it, a kind of a crappy job. Like having to do – serving is hard work. There's no – it's not fun.
No. People, when it comes to food, people are just – they're not nice. And it's like, hey, I'm handling your food, you know. Be a little bit nicer to me.
Yeah, you dummy.
There's things I could do back there.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't want to have to resort to that, but you're being a real jerk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the case with everything. If you're doing stand-up comedy, like, you got to make ends meet because it's so hard. Especially when you're living – like, Atlanta's not crazy expensive compared to Seattle, I don't think.
No.
But it's not inexpensive either. Where's the station in Atlanta?
It's actually in a place called Sandy Springs.
Okay.
Oh, I'm waiting for you to start laughing. Sandy Springs, Georgia.
I don't get it.
Oh, it's just Flowery Branch, Georgia. There's a Sandy Springs. Oh. It's just, I don't know, to me, that's just such a southern, cute little town, you know?
Bless their heart. That's the thing I learned about the South, is that when you if you ever want to make fun of someone, you go, oh, she's just great, bless her heart. As much as a immediate, like, she dumb.
She dumb. Yeah, so the station's in Sandy Springs. It's
okay,
about,
so you're not even in like the cool part of Atlanta or anything?
No, but it was fine because it was a 12-minute ride to work. I took back roads. I didn't have to get on 285 or anything.
When you say ride, were you arriving by horse or like what was the...
No, my Mazda.
Okay.
With that still had Connecticut plates on it. Which is so
of fun. Course, of course. Just the rule is if you move somewhere new and you don't have the right plates, don't put a local anything on there. Don't put a Mariners if you move to Seattle or the End or whatever until you get your new plates. Then put the bumper stickers on because the cops obviously know that you live there if you start adopting the local stuff.
Right.
So I moved to Vegas and it was $300 a year to register your car. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool stickers. And my boss is like, no. You can't do that. The So George, you're wearing an Amoeba Music shirt.
Oh, yeah, I am.
And so you're a record store person saying that you want to get jobs at record stores. When you were in Atlanta, the record store culture is actually pretty cool there. Did you grow up with record stores in Connecticut and stuff, or did you have to travel to somewhere like New York to see rad shops?
Well, I actually found a record store. It wasn't even looking online. I was just walking around this little area called Tokenique Road in Darien, Norwalk, where I was growing up, and I found a place called Johnny's Records. And I'm just like, what? How did I not know? How long has this been here? Went in, and Johnny is the one behind the counter.
Wow.
Just, yeah. And we became friends to the point where I was like, hey, the last Zeppelin vinyl that I need to finish my collection is Led Zeppelin 1. I'm like, any way you can order it. I don't care if it's cost $50. I don't care if it's a new remastered version. Like, I just need it to complete my. And he was like, yeah, I can do that for you.
Cool.
So it took a few weeks, but he did. And then he started ordering new stuff, you know, Coldplay and everything. You know, he had Adele, he had Foles, you know, just a lot of new stuff, Radiohead. So it wasn't just his old milk crates, but that's how it started out. But yes, that was a long-winded answer. Sorry.
But that's what I want. I'm curious to know how you get shaped musically and stuff. Like, do you have a friend? I guess it's your cousin probably, but do you have like a friend that like always blows your mind with like knowing the new music before everyone else? Is there a person in your life that's like that pushes stuff to you to be like, hey, check this out, check this out?
Yes, actually, one of my friends, Teresa, she used to work for this, Songza app. I don't know if it's still going on, but, kind of like a tune in a little bit, like a tune in app.
Listen to the end on tuneinradio.com or whatever it is on the tune in app. Yeah.
But yeah, she would be the person to say, hey, I think you would really dig these guys, or like, oh my God, the song has you written all over it. And so she would just send me stuff all the time. And she started getting me into the new indie stuff. So, yeah, my friend Teresa, shout out to her.
Yeah.
And then we became concert buddies. So every time we wanted to go to a show, I'm like, hey, first time I saw Fits in the Tantrums was with her.
Cool.
For $12 in Brooklyn. It was amazing. Yeah, so I would say Teresa. But, yeah, as far as, like, finding record stores, I literally just stumbled upon the store, and then it was right down the street from where I was waitressing. So sometimes when I'd get off work, I'd just go and hang out and, like, just talk to people about music. That's just what I like to do, you know?
Just wait till the internet teaches you that you hate talking to people about music. Now, I'm sure you've been on the internet before and know this thing that I've just said, but that's so cool. Yeah, I was in, I happened to be in Atlanta for Record Store Day a couple years ago. And
okay.
So we went to Little Five Points, where there's a couple rad record stores that I don't remember the name of. And
Criminal Records?
Maybe. There
Wax
was,
and Facts?
There was, I don't remember what it was. We'll look it up. But it's there was just rad stores down there. And I was so surprised at Atlanta because it's known for being kind of like the cultural epicenter of that kind of southern hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And southern rap comes from places like Atlanta. And so to find that there was such a strong counterculture to that as well in like an indie culture in Little Five Points, which is a rad neighborhood.
It is.
That was fantastic. And so I guess if you go most places that have enough population, you find something. Now, have you been to any record stores here yet?
No, but I have a couple, like I wrote a couple down that I definitely wanted to go check out. So yeah, that could actually be something I do this weekend too.
I don't know, everyone will have a different take on this, but if you want to walk, there's Everyday Music. If you,
yes.
You're vinyl, is that your thing?
Yeah, vinyl.
Okay, so if you like vinyl, then if you want to walk, Everyday Music up on Capitol Hill, there's just but the block party's going on this weekend. So check it out maybe when you're up there for block party, because
okay.
Right there by the entrance, you'll find that there. And that's a rad store that has so much vinyl, which is really cool. But then Easy Street Records, there used to be two locations, but now Easy Street is like the iconic Seattle record store in West Seattle.
Okay.
It's a drive over there, but they also have a cafe in there. So if you get there at a reasonable time, you can get yourself breakfast, or you can get yourself I don't know. I guess they probably run pretty late, but it's cool. So you can shop, and they always got rad music playing in the background, like any record store. And you go upstairs, and there's a full upstairs that's just all that, and it's got such a huge history and is on such a rad street and part of West Seattle. And it's like West Seattle is where all the not all of them, but like a lot of the famous guys that you know from Seattle music live.
Okay.
Your Eddie Vedders and stuff. They like, when you see Eddie, last time they played here, he was wearing his West Seattle shirt. So he doesn't represent Seattle, he represents West Seattle.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I guess they're all spread out now, but like Ben from Soundgarden lives over there, and they hang out at the...
Very cool.
Feedback Lounge, you'll run into Soundgarden guys just there drinking because they're just normal humans that like to go to the bar and talk and listen to music and be friends and stuff. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, I imagine that like the places you've lived, there haven't been like a lot of celebrity musicians around and stuff that you would be pumped to run into.
Andre 3000.
Yeah,
he would be hanging out at the bars in Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, he lives there too. But yeah, my friend texted me one day. She's like, "Oh my god, I need to get down here. Andre 3000 is just hanging, kicking it, like enjoying the music." I'm like, "All right, let's do it." So he was the only one in Atlanta, but
he's such a huge creative mind and stuff too. That's rad. Here, like MacReady from Pearl Jam and Stone is around, and you like Duff McKagan has his hands in everything. You'll run into just Guns N' Roses guys, just like at events and stuff. It's a regular thing to have these, and they all support the community really well.
Very cool.
Which is a fascinating thing about him. Now, have you ever ridden on a ferry before?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
I guess in New York, maybe.
Yeah, when I was younger.
Now, ferry culture here is awesome, and you have to try and ride them and go weird places.
Okay.
What do you do in your free time when you're not listening to music real loud, as you told me on the air the other day, or when you're not doing that, or you're not on the radio? What's your free time look like?
Really just, I know it sounds weird, I'm kind of a wanderer, really just like walking around. You know, sometimes I know, don't get me wrong, I love being on my couch and watching Netflix as much as the next person.
What's your show? What are you watching right now?
Right now, Orange is the New Black, new season.
Okay.
I just started it.
Cool.
I'm behind, but yeah. But I just like to walk around, and, you know, I can't, sometimes, I don't know if it's the ADD or whatever, but I just can't sit still for too long.
That's, I get it. It's I'm the same way. Life is fleeting, and so mm-hmm. I don't like to just, it drives my fiance crazy. I don't like to just sit and do nothing. Like, and I consider doing nothing watching TV. Like, I just I can't. It gets after like an hour, I start getting frustrated that I've wasted so much time.
Mm-hmm.
Now in bed, before bed, Gilmore Girls, essential. But especially in a town like this where it's so walkable. So when you pick where you live, when you settle down, make sure there's like stuff within walking distance, or at least an easy ride to somewhere where you can have walking distance.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff. Okay, so what's your job at the end? What do you have to do?
What do I do here? Well, I talk from 10 to 3,
yeah,
which is very cool. And then I'm doing the social media stuff. I mean, we all do social media, but just sort of being a point person, I guess. Trying to
social media captain.
Captain, yeah, captain hat. Yeah, and then just you know, events and everything like that. Summer camp. I'm really excited for summer camp.
Cool.
Like, I mean, before I got this job and you guys were talking about it, I'm like, oh. And I was even thinking, I'm like, what if I just went out there for summer camp? That would be ridiculous, but and crazy expensive.
I'm sure that we would have given you free tickets. I'm sure that we could have arranged that for sure.
Because Atlanta, we didn't have any. The alternative station that I was working for, and when I say work for, I wasn't really on the air for. I did do the local show. It was 1 hour on Sunday night. So, but we didn't have our own concert that we put on. We had Music Midtown, which was amazing concert, 2 days. Yeah, 2 day music festival, but it wasn't ours. Like, this is the end summer camp. So this is just very cool.
And we do Deck the Hall Ball later in the year.
Yes.
And that one's the opposite of it's all boxed in. It's inside an arena. It's not outside in the grass and having fun. And it's a rad, like I've said rad like 100 times now, but it's a great juxtaposition. We have these two big events. It couldn't be more different.
Awesome.
It's super fun. Okay, so like, I'm not one to really think this way, so I'm curious to see if you are or not. When you found out that you're working at the end, and it's hard to imagine now because you just started, but where does your journey take you beyond the end? What's the end game when you're bouncing around the country doing radio?
Well, see, I'm hoping that this will be my home.
TRL?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to TRL and be on MTV every day?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No. I'm hoping that this will be it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not, it's not. But this is a dream come true for me. Like, this, you know, when I even started talking to the bosses here,
yeah,
and who have just been...
Shout outs to Leslie, who's probably listening to this and mad at me for talking so much about you not being from here.
Yeah, no, Leslie's just been amazing from day one, and Dave, too, Dave Richards. Yeah, it just was... Whenever I... whenever it just started, I was like, oh my goodness. Like when, you know, when Pepper was leaving, I was like, oh my goodness, no, like, who am I going to listen to? You know, like, this sucks. And, you know, I reached out to her because she's been really cool and supportive too.
If there's one person that supports women in radio,
yeah,
like the feminism runs strong in Pepper. She's the raddest. I miss her a lot. So.
Yeah, no, she's been super awesome. And she was like, you know, she congratulated me. And like I said, just been super supportive. But yeah, it was just one of those moments where it's like, wait, what? I get to work at my dream station? Like, this doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen to me. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that this will be my home.
How does it feel to go from doing shifts on the weekends here and there to now being an instrumental voice on a big radio stick like this?
If I can be 100% completely honest,
I would hope you would be, yes.
Yeah, it is intimidating, but in the best way. It's scary, exhilarating. You know, like I said, when I cracked that mic, just all these feelings, but it's just so awesome.
I want you to tell me the day when you realize that it's been a while since you felt like you weren't at home. Like, when you get here, from my experience, when I got to the end, I felt like I was on borrowed time for a long time because I was still so blown away by the fact that I worked in this rad building with all these cool people that do amazing things. Then at some point, it felt like my station. It felt like where, I worked in one market for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was home always. That was my station. And now I think about that station, I'm like, oh, gross. because this is home now. And so I want, at some point, when you feel comfortable with where you're at and you feel like you've made your own impression upon the place, to speak up about that. Because I want to see how long it takes different people.
Okay.
That's fascinating. Okay. Well, Alyssa is on the radio from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. every day, and you can find her on the internet. What are your handles? Where can we find you?
On Twitter, at Alyssa on the end.
Okay.
Instagram, I just changed it, at Alyssa Page 1077.
Okay.
And then just Alyssa.
Okay.
You know. Everywhere else.
Go to 1077theend.com to find out more, to see a picture of her, to read the stuff that she's going to start posting on there, to follow us on all our social too, because she'll be instrumental in directing all of that.
Yeah.
You got a Snapchat?
Yes. It's
sounds like you use it a lot.
It's LP323, which that was
Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
What area code is 323? LA.
Yeah. No, okay. It's actually my birthday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
323?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be adding that to my phone right now. Alyssa,
no.
Thank you for coming in on a Saturday to talk to me.
Thank you, Gregor, for inviting me to do this. It's been very fun.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.